sometimes parents of devotees, they don't become devotees, rather they go to the very materialistic extremes. So how does this happen? There is a general principle, but there are always exceptions possible. So even the scriptures, it is described that, say for example, Maharaj Anga was a very virtuous king, but he got a son Vena, who was a demoniac. Even in Chaitanya Gaurlila, it is described that Advaita Acharya is an eternal associate of the Lord, is an alternate manifestation of God Himself. And one of his sons actually became a Mayavadi, became an impersonalist. So we have to understand that the soul always has choices to make in this life. So the parents' consciousness, overall consciousness and the consciousness time of conception, that may attract a particular kind of soul. But then that soul is a free person. And that soul will make certain choices in this life. And as far as our movement is concerned specifically, you know, if we see the way the Krishna conscious movement started, it is a radical cultural transplant. The Prabhupada, the Vaishnava culture which was there in India, that was brought to the West. And the first generation of devotees, Prabhupada disciples, they were very dedicated to Prabhupada. They did a lot to share Krishna Bhakti all over the world. But, you know, they just didn't know much about parenting. So, you know, there's an old saying, it's not just African, I think I've heard in India also, it takes a whole village to raise a child. It takes a whole village. It's not just the parents who can raise a child. The children also have their needs. And sometimes the children of the first generation, often their needs were not adequately taken care of. Bhakti is a spiritual need, but along with that, there are social needs, there are emotional needs, there are physical needs. So all those have to be properly taken care of. Sometimes many of the devotees didn't know what to do because they were so young and they just thrust into a spiritual movement, and sometimes they just were not equipped to do it. So many of these children, they have valid grievances against the way they were brought up, against the way they were. So this is a whole different subject. But the point is that every soul has free will. And especially in our situation, there was valid reasons for people to get alienated, for especially the younger generation. So we should never make either way, the children's becoming a devotee or not becoming a devotee, that should not be seen as a test of the parents' devotion. You know, that can be one characteristic, but that is not the only characteristic. Every soul is an individual. That way, if we see, then there are so many spiritual masters. Obviously, the spiritual masters are far more exalted than parents. And for many spiritual masters, their disciples fall away. Initially, disciples fall away. There are people who have, you know, taken vows. The children never took vows like that. But then, do we hold that against the spiritual master? No. Every soul is an individual, and some souls can make some choices. So our goal should be that we provide everyone the facility to practice bhakti. And the parents, if it has happened that their children have gone towards materialistic things, still the parents should maintain an affectionate relationship with them. And eventually the children have got the higher taste of bhakti. In the childhood, they have heard kirtan, they have taken darshan. They may have had some unpleasant experiences. There may be some terrible experiences also. But still, they have got the higher taste of bhakti. And that taste will be there. And in due course of time, that will attract them back to Krishna. I know one devotee friend in India. He was born in a devotee family. But when he came to teenage years, you know, teenage brings rebellion with it. So, for many devotees, especially in the first generation, it was their rebelliousness that brought them to bhakti. Because they were rebelling against the parent culture, against the culture of America or wherever they were in. But for those who are born in devotee families, their rebellion takes them away from Krishna. Because that's what they have been exposed to. So he went and started exploring many things. At that time, India was just getting westernized. So there was a music concert by a famous American musician when he came to India. So this devotee, he wanted to go for that show. He spent a lot of money, rushed through crowd, got through crowds, traveled a long distance, and finally he came to that show. And he was sitting in that show. As that show started, it was going on, you know, his friends were cheering, jubilant. And suddenly it struck him, this is just noise. This is just noise, he said. Even the simplest kirtans in the temple are sweeter. He had done nothing actually. Just at that time, he just got that realization. You know, it was like something like Bilwa Mangal Thakur went to Chintamani. And he said, you know, what am I doing here? Just realized that it was actually at that time Chintamani spoke to her. But somehow, you know, how that realization will awaken, we can't see. So what we should not do is, when some of our loved ones are not practicing bhakti, just because of they're not practicing bhakti, we should not antagonize them. You know, we should not spoil the relationship. You know, actually, the parents would like the children to practice bhakti, but even if they're not practicing, the parents should always maintain nice relationship with them. And eventually, their devotional impressions that are there, that will bring them to Krishna. So, if they make the whole relationship very judgmental and antagonistic, then that judgmentality and antagonism will stop them from coming to Krishna, even when they want to. It's like, you know, if somebody is not practicing bhakti and I tell them, you know, you are an illusion, you are wrong. And now you are going away so foolishly, one day you will come crawling back on your knees. Now, if I say like this, what happens is, then even when they want to come back, their ego will not let them come back. And everybody has a sense of self-respect, everybody has an ego, we have to admit that. So we should never make it an ego issue. We should never make it a prestige issue. It's not that, you know, I am a devotee, so the proof of my devotion is that my children are also chanting Hare Krishna, they are also practicing bhakti. It's good if they are practicing, but they are souls and they have to be treated as individuals. And they will, in their own course, they will practice bhakti and they will take it up. We should provide them the facilities, but we should never impose. Does it answer your question? Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.